Sodium chloride, a simple compound, but so important. Every recipe I've ever made calls for salt, but you have to be careful with it. I once made a dish when I was newly married and cooking for the first time. I saw this abbreviation TSP, one TSP of salt, and I thought that stood for tablespoon. And it was inedible. There's a fine line between not enough salt and too much salt. And I'd gone way over it. And then there's the adjusting you need to do for people on low salt diets or for individual taste. Now, besides being used for flavoring, salt has some other functions. It's also used as a preservative. Think pickles and bacon and the like. As spices go today, salt's pretty cheap, but it wasn't always so. In fact, it was so expensive that the less important people at a dinner in olden times were seated below the salt, because it wasn't worth impressing them with an expensive spice. In Jesus's day, salt was so valuable that it was used to pay wages, especially those of the Roman soldiers, since there were no euros, there was no common currency. And so in general, for people that moved around, salt was used as money. And so we have the expression, being worth your salt. Salt's the root word for the word salary. Now, because it was weighed out to pay you and used in transactions, unscrupulous people would cut it with sand. And sometimes it would be so cut in transaction after transaction that it was finally mostly just sand, and so had no flavor or any use as salt whatsoever. It lost its ability to flavor, to preserve. And so when Jesus is saying to you and me, you are the salt for the world, he's saying that the role of Christians is to add flavor to the world. Flavors of love, joy, patience, and kindness that are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you go around in your world adding love or joy or patience or kindness to any of your transactions with others, you're enhancing the flavor of their day. Just try it. Now, another thing that you do is salt is bring value to others. When you act respectfully towards someone, you raise their self-esteem. As Christians, we try to see that no one is put below the salt, and that everyone sees that you regard them as worthy and valuable. And as salt, you also have the function of being a preserving agent. We keep each other from spoiling, from going bad, by calling out bad behaviors in love and insisting and inviting each other to be our best. We can do this by modeling godly behavior and our good works, like you're doing right now by being in worship and by contributing to the needs of the community. And so Jesus says, you are salt. You add flavor to the lives of others. You add value to their lives. And you call them to wholesomeness. A warning here, though. Remember, when I put a tablespoon of salt into my cake instead of a teaspoon, the cake was inedible. Good judgment is needed to perceive just the right amount of salt that you need to add to your world in any given situation. And speaking of people in our world, sometimes we call people the salt of the earth. And we especially hear that description of some of the inhabitants of some of the areas of this country. And what we seem to mean by that is that they are people that you can count on to be there for you without making a show of it, without drawing attention to themselves. They keep their salt unnoticeable, which is a good thing in a dish. Be careful with salt. Balance is important. Salt is an electrolyte that is absolutely necessary for life, but too much of it is poison. You get thirsty when there's too much salt in your blood. And sodium and chlorine, individually as elements, are in themselves poisonous. But compounded together, they are life-giving. Salt water, though drunk in great quantity, will kill you. But gargled, it can soothe a sore throat. The Holy Spirit's gifts bring a passion for serving God. But overdone or used in the wrong way and the wrong place, they can do damage. You probably know some experiences or instances of that. Discernment is mandatory, which is why Jesus gives us the community of the faithful, the church, so that we can help each other discern the Spirit's calling in any given time and place. The salt of our mutual conversations stimulates our thirst to know more of Christ and his teachings and how to apply them in our lives today. Okay, that's salt. The Holy Spirit makes us salt. But Jesus also says the Holy Spirit makes us something else. Light. You are the light of the world. The light metaphor is different from the salt metaphor. If salt is cut as it's passed along from person to person to keep its weight and therefore its presumed value the same, it eventually gets so diluted that it can no longer do its job of preserving or flavoring as a commodity, and so it becomes worthless. And that's a warning to us about letting the world and its values dilute our salt. But not so with light. The more light is shared, the more light there is. Passing your light to someone else does nothing to dilute your light, but instead it doubles the amount of light in the world. Since the Holy Spirit has given you the light of Christ, you can share it without dividing it, but rather multiplying it. The love and joy that you share increases the love and joy in your world without taking any of it away from you. In fact, it reflects back to you, increasing the light that's available to you. Let your light shine, says Jesus. Let your righteous living be visible. As the prophet Isaiah tells us, loose the bounds of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Share your bread with the homeless poor. When you see the naked, cover them. And here is perhaps the hardest command that we heard this morning. Do not hide yourself from your own kin, from your family, no matter how irritating they are. Then, says God in Isaiah, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. Responding to this word of God, we will later sing in this service, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," as a defiance to the people that want to put out your light, the light that Jesus has made you to be. It's not human wisdom that says you are salt and light. Human wisdom would say that you become salt and light if you work at it. But Jesus' Spirit has made you salt and light. And that confers some high expectations that God has for us, far more than just keeping some rules, but of understanding the grace beyond the rules, the grace that it's your mission to offer to others, to those outside your community or communities, however you define those. Jesus is defining us as salt, is saying that you make a difference, that you change the world, even when people that you're caring for and helping don't say, "I can taste the salt." Don't say it. They just know that it makes their life better. As Shakespeare's King Lear reminds us, if salt's missing, it's apparent that there's something very wrong and the food is tasteless. Likewise, by defining us as light, Jesus says that in God's economy, the pie is infinite. Sharing doesn't mean that there's less for you, but that there's more for everyone, including you. You are salt. You are light. Already are enough salt, enough light that you change the world just by being you. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.